You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This week's podcast, we are looking at some of the coaching staffs and the managers of the teams that you are following. I'm Alex Footer, and I'm here with Todd Zalecki, who covers the Phillies. And Todd, before we get into that, let's talk about some news coming out of Phillies camp. So Aaron Altair
right.
went over this. So let's talk about his, he has an injury and what's going on with that.
Yeah, he injured his wrist, left wrist on Friday, diving for a ball here in a game against the Braves in Clearwater. And at the time, they said that he didn't think it was serious. He's been in a splint. He saw a wrist specialist Monday in Philadelphia. We haven't gotten the results back on that. But honestly, hey, I've been wrong many times before, but my gut tells me it's going to be more serious than not. I wrote a little bit yesterday about how thin the Phillies are in the outfield. It's not like they were stacked, they're really stacked at any position, but the outfield was a position, I think, entering camp that they seemed to be particularly thin at, in the sense that they were relying a lot of guys without a lot of track records or a lot of guys coming off a lot of down years or whatever. You know, Odubel Herrera was probably the safest, best bet out of that bunch. But then you have Peter Borges, who's really struggled the past 4 years. You know, Altair, they were hoping to be an opening day outfielder. He'd only had like 150 plate appearances in big league. And then the other two outfielders are Cody Ashey and Tyler Goodell, Rule 5 pick. Ashey's coming off a down year. Goodell's a Rule 5 pick, never played above Double A. And then the options, if Altair misses an extended period of time, you're looking at somebody like David Lowe from the Orioles, whose OPS last year was 565. You're looking at Darnell Sweeney, who came along in the Chase Utley trade last year, and Cedric Hunter, who's basically been a minor league player his entire career. So it would not be good news at all if they missed Altair for any period of time, because they were really kind of hoping that he could get a good long look this season and kind of establish himself and at least give the Phillies a better idea of, you know, is he a part of the outfield picture going forward or not?
Yeah, that's the problem with teams that are in the Phillies' position. I was talking to somebody earlier about the fact that the Cardinals shortstop Johnny Peralta is going to be out for a couple months with a torn ligament in his thumb, and I'm like, I don't know how alarmed I can be about anybody in the Cardinals like going down, because they're so deep.
Right.
So it's and that's what every organization wants, and that's what the Phillies were and are trying to get back to. But in a situation that they're in, it's like, I mean, they can't. Injuries are part of every team. It's part of every spring training. But at the same time, it's got to be a little bit cringeworthy that they even have to start dealing with this early in spring.
Yeah, it is. And one thing I looking back on it, I mentioned this a few times, is, you know, Jeff Francoeur played a pretty big role on this team last year. He wanted to come back, but for various reasons, you know, the Phillies just decided to move on. I think, you know, people in the front office will say that, you know, once they claimed Peter Borges off waivers and once they drafted Tyler Goodell, that they didn't feel like they needed to bring back Jeff Francoeur. But again, kind of go back to what I talked to you earlier, they had a lot of guys. They needed a lot of things to go right to have kind of a productive outfield, and they were kind of putting a lot of eggs in those baskets. And now I think, you know, they probably will disagree with me, but you look back at it now and go, boy, did they have any regrets about maybe not signing a guy like Jeff Francoeur? Because they were basically expecting almost everything to go right all spring, all these guys to play well, and all these guys to healthy to go into the season. And now you might lose Altair for a stretch.
Okay, so getting back to our theme of our podcast this week, so we're just taking a look at managers and just talking about the managers for different teams and what makes them good and what they bring to the team. So with Pete MacKinnon, it's interesting because he was an interim manager with the Pirates in 2005, an interim manager with the Reds in 2007, an interim manager with the Phillies last year, and then he stuck with it and he got that permanent job. And let's start off first by just talking about what kind of guy he is. And what qualities make him a good manager for the Phillies?
Well, Pete is definitely a, you know, I don't want to say a player's manager, but he's very approachable. He's very friendly. He likes to joke around a lot. Not to say that he's not serious or goofing around all the time, because he's not. But he's somebody I think that the players are comfortable with approaching if they have a question. They're comfortable with him being in the clubhouse, walking through the clubhouse, whatever. Charlie Manuel, to me, was the best at that. I mean, players genuinely loved Charlie Manuel. Pete, they like him a lot as well. And I think that was something that was needed. That was something that was lacking with Ryan Sandberg. He just couldn't communicate very well with his players. There was no real rapport there. There's no relationship there. And I think you saw kind of a disconnect between the players, the coaches, and the manager. And that's not going to be a problem with Pete, I don't think. He seems to be willing to talk to guys. He seems to be open to telling them where they stand. And, again, he's laid back and he's loose enough that I think for a young team, it's good because they won't be uptight. You know, you don't want these young guys to be uptight when they come up. You want them to be relaxed, and I think he'll help them accomplish that.
Yeah, and it's also interesting as you look at Pete, and he's an older manager. He's been around a long time in professional baseball. He definitely fits the mold of a manager that would have a lot of opportunities 10 years ago. It's changed so much with the managers being younger. I was talking to Anthony DiComo about Terry Collins and how he is with the Mets and the fact that he doesn't love analytics. Actually kind of despises them, but he embraces them because he knows that he kind of has to. But he gets, like, where they are on that. Like, with Pete, do you get the impression that he embraces that, and are the Phillies kind of heavy on the analytics side, and how does that all meld together?
Yeah, I think Pete is definitely open to it. You do hear some managers, Terry Collins kind of will make a couple comments here and there to go, listen, I know I have to deal with it, but I don't want to deal with it. Pete's not like that. Pete is basically, he's open to it. He's like, I have no problem, you know, looking at these numbers. Every piece of information is good. Now, how much he ends up using it during a game or to make up his lineup remains to be seen. But certainly since the change in, Andy McPhail became president, Matt Klentak became general manager, they really kind of built an analytics team with the Phillies after really not having one for years. It's too early to say exactly how much he's going to use of that or how much he's going to be asked to use that information. But certainly by all accounts, he's very open-minded towards it. He's an older guy, but he's not so old school that he's like, you know, like sometimes those guys will like purposely mispronounce war or warp and they'll make some goofy, cheesy joke about it. Like he's not one of those guys that just, you know, kind of passive aggressively dumps on stats that he doesn't understand. Like he seems to be willing to listen and understand that it is part of the game. And quite frankly, he's on a 1-year contract. So if he wants to keep his job, I think he wants to keep his bosses happy as much as possible. Not to say that he's going to cave in or anything, but I think he understands that, hey, you know, if I want to keep managing the Phillies, I have to be willing to listen and to use some of these things.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. So it's like, it remains to be seen how much he uses in the game. It's kind of, and I do come at from my background with the Astros, and I've been sort of like, if you just don't follow their edict, you're just not going to be around for very long. It's not really, there's been a lot of minor league managers and coaches that have been fired over the last couple of years because they simply will not give in to any of that. I don't know where the Phillies stand on that, but it would seem like if he's not using the information that they're giving him in the way that they want to, then it might be a short-lived tenure, I would think.
Yeah, you know, the Phillies have, in talking to Matt Klentak and Andy McPhail and even Andy Galdi, who's basically their analytics guru that they just hired from Google in January, they all say the same thing, which is, listen, we're not going to be an analytics team. We just want people to have as much information as possible and to gather all that information from the scouts and from the analytics side and then make decisions. So I feel like they kind of feel the same way in terms of what they want Pete to do. You know, they don't want him just to totally manage off his gut, but they also don't want him to be beholden to, hey, look, these are the stats that we have on this team. You have to do it this way or you're going to be in trouble. It doesn't seem to be that type of setup at the moment.
Okay, well, here's hoping that Pete McCannon gets a contract extension. He seems like a pretty good guy. So, Todd, thank you so much. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.